This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Multidisciplinary artist Ai Weifu's first solo exhibition, Forever Gone But Always Exists, features six recent works on paper by the artist, as well as a piece of performance art. So the exhibition and performance is described as the artist's avenue in challenging the conventional ideas of time and permanence. And through it, she also explores the nuances of memory, life, and the eternal imprint that transitory things leave behind on the axis of time. So what's this all about? Ai Wei joins me now to share more. Welcome, Ai Wei. How are you today?
Hello, Juliet. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Really excited to hear about this. Your first solo exhibition. Wow, congratulations.
Yes, my first solo, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you've done group exhibitions, of course, before,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I've done quite many group exhibitions before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is my first solo exhibition.
Okay, so we're going to find out more about it after this. But I think, you know, I would really love to hear about how you became an artist, you know, what led you to art. I know you grew up, you were born in Sarawak. Mm. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Miri, Sarawak, and currently I'm based in Kuala Lumpur. I am a multidisciplinary artist with a background in fine art and fashion design. And back in art school, I was actually a major in Western painting. But back then, actually, I'm very interested in video art, in performance art, in video art as well. And for now, actually, my work is mostly involved in more performance driven, creating experience, mm-hmm. and also I work in video work, also video and also visual art such as photography and drawing, and I also do writing. And a little bit of music.
Wow, so a bit of thus multidisciplinary.
A little bit of this and that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, I was reading, obviously I was reading your background, right? And I do know that personal experiences actually play quite a big role, right, in I guess, shaping the narratives of your artworks. Could you explain that to me?
Actually, after I graduated from fine art studies, I went to Australia. But I didn't do any studies there. I was just went there for working holiday.
Okay, yeah.
So I worked in a farm, very, very random and very odd jobs, like picking blueberries from the farm. Yeah. And then I also work in a food court selling mixed rice. and I also work as a life model for some grandpa and grandma when they are doing a live drawing. It's like adult drawing class. So I was a life model. So when I was in Australia, I was very intrigued by the secondhand clothing culture and the flea market and so on. And I found many beautiful vintage fabric and materials at the flea market and secondhand market. So from then on, I started to like this the material of a fabric. Mm. So that is how I started to love sewing and to love fabric as a material. So after that, when I went back to Singapore, I was studying in Singapore before. Yeah, so when I went back to Singapore, I enrolled into a fashion design course. And after that, I actually have my own design label. And but that was about 15 years ago. Yeah, the label is called See You Tomorrow, but it is already discontinued.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so I work in Singapore, and in 2011, I went to Helsinki to further my studies, and I did my master degree in Helsinki, Finland. So I guess my experience in Finland, in the Nordic, also has changed my approach in working as well, whether it is, aesthetically or my mindset, mm-hmm. and the approach to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how, you know, in following from that, how do your past experience, you know, also influence the direction of your artistic career, you know, particularly leading, I guess, you know, up to this solo exhibition as well, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
My practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, all the while, I love to explore different medium for different expressions. Different ideas, different concepts. I always believe in the blurring of art and life. Yeah, I think art and life, they are inseparable, and you are what you eat, you are what you live. So blurring life and art, live life as art or art as life, to me, it is a very sustainable way to make art and to live my life as a, you know, as a person.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is also a way to live my life to the fullest, a way to be more observant, to be mindful of my, you know, the immediate surrounding, and to live more consciously. Yeah, and I always like thought that different ideas are better to be expressed in a specific medium. And so I love to explore different medium, different things, even though they are not what I really trained in. For example, make music. I wasn't trained as a musician, but I create music. I used to create a music album before, also a long time ago in 2008, yeah, I created a music album incorporating my own writing, short prose and poetry. I simply played by ear and I use a garage band. Yeah, so I don't play any instrument, but I really play by ear. I use a keyboard, you know, to like type with your finger, like recognizing the alphabet and to compose the music. Yeah.
So interesting. Okay. So really, I guess, you know, you kind of just go wherever your interest takes you, you know, in a way as well. And like you see what medium you think would fit with, I don't know, whatever current idea or thing that you'd like to explore.
Yeah, I think there are different phases in my entire, you know, this my art path or art career. There are different phases where I use different kind of medium for my expression. Mm-hmm. Like at a certain period, I was more on using fabric, and on sewing machine, I make like fabric sculpture, I make fabric books. And after that, there's certain period I was more on the visual work. I did photography works and a bit of like illustrations. And for recent year, I'm actually gearing towards more of the performance art, and also creating experience. Yeah, I also create experience with food, where I also did an experiential dining back in Singapore, where I curate the menu and I work with a chef and I curate the entire experience. I also came up with an art installation for the dining experience. And after that, I also have started a tea room project where I incorporate tea as a medium in this project. So for this project, it is to me, it is a performance art in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to explore the inner self. It's about how one can, you know, like retreat within oneself.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about mindfulness. It's about the slowness in life and things. Yeah.
Okay.
So for that project, it is very impromptu. Like I will go to different random pocket of spaces in the public, and then I will set up a tea space where I invite like public to come have tea with me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I used to do that like in a mall. Like I really did a setup. I was wearing a tea dress, a very big circular dress, where people can sit on my dress, and then I have tea. I serve tea to the audience. And I also did that in a car park. I was like sitting inside the van with a big dress, and people came to the van and have tea with me. And then, yeah, so I like to explore that kind of thing, you know, like to, in a way, like I feel, I try to blur the line between like, you know, art and life. When I was having this tea session with my, with a guest, we actually not really talk about art. We just talk about, you know, like everyday life things, like random things. Yeah, so I think it's a very nice way to, you know, to blend this line, like what life and art is. Yeah, and then eventually, 2019, I came back to Malaysia. I decided to come back to Malaysia for good, and I wanted to bring this project back in Malaysia, and I want to see how people respond to this project, and I want to look for a collaborator on this project as well. Mm-hmm. But back then, I don't have many friends in KL, so but I have a friend who is a musician whom I have known for like quite many years. So I engaged him and to ask him to collaborate on this tea room project, and we did the first one at Zhongshan at the back room. That was 2019, and after that we started our very own artist partnership, okay, like an art collective called Shaman Tea Room.
Yes, I've heard of that. Yes, yeah, of course.
And then we incorporate tea ceremony and sound, music, contemporary art, spoken words, healing ambience, and into this project. It is it could be a performance, or it is also we also create experience like with this project. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And the fascinating idea, I've always known of Shaman Tea.
Shaman Tea Room.
Tea Room, yeah. But I didn't connect that it was you as well. Okay. But then, of course, now, you know, we have this exhibition, right? Your first solo exhibition, and it's called Forever Gone But Always Exists. Mm. Can you share the inspiration behind, you know, the title, and also, tell us more about the exhibition?
This work is actually, it triggered me. I mean, I started this work actually back in 2022. That time, what triggered me was back in 2022, I had an exhibition, like a Shaman Tea Room exhibition at the Go Down. Mm-hmm. So we have spent like quite a long time to prepare for the exhibition. And then we went through a lot of obstacles, like financially and everything. And then I have hand-sewn like 9 pieces of fabric sculptures. So it really took a long time to complete the work. So we had the exhibition for a month, and every weekend we have a performance. Mm-hmm. At the venue. So on the last day of the exhibition, of the performance, we have to take down everything, all the installation and all the artwork. So it was like, only took like, I think an hour or so to take out everything, to take down everything. And then that night I was standing there, and I was like looking at the empty space, like after the work has been taken down, I was like, wow. And in my mind, there was these 4 verses appeared in my head. So it goes like, 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观. So it translated as, all conditioned phenomena are like a dream, an illusion, a bubble, and a shadow, like dew and a flash of lightning. Thus, we shall perceive them as such. So I realized that everything was in such a, you know, impermanent state. Mm. And at that point of time, I really wish that I could come up with something. I could come up with a piece of work to express this thought in some way. Yeah, so that was how this series of work came about.
Okay. And as we mentioned, it's 6 pieces on paper, isn't it? 6 artworks on paper.
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the themes that you've explored? You want to tell us more about those 6 pieces?
Yes. This six pieces of drawings, there are six pieces of drawing and one piece of video work and also a performance art, which we have done one during the opening. And the upcoming one will be this coming Saturday on the 23rd March at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. So the subject matter of this exhibition is about impermanence, is to contemplate on the transient states of being, the ever-changing nature of existence. So I work on pencil on paper because pencil and paper have been the fundamental tool when I started making art. Mm-hmm. I would like to go back to that basic. After all this year, I explored so many different kind of mediums over the years. So I would really love to go back to this basic, you know, just pencil and paper is very simple. But also also incorporating like performance and video art as well. Yeah. With this work on paper, I guess this is still what I find most suitable for me to express my thoughts in the end. So there are six drawings in total. Four of them are in the dimension of 190 by 90 cm. It's almost the size of a single bed.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other two are bigger. They are in the dimension of 200 by 150 cm, mm-hmm. So which is about the size of a queen-size bed. Yeah. So the drawing are titled Sense Object 1, 2, 3, and 4. Which symbolize the four elements that make up our human body, which is earth, water, fire, and wind. Mm-hmm. So after completing these four drawings, they were erased entirely. So if you visit the exhibition, you will see the original drawing, but without the drawing itself.
Okay.
Yeah, you will see some faint traces of the pencil mark left on the paper or the impression of the pencil strokes on the paper and so on. But meanwhile, you will also see the drawing because the drawing has been reproduced in digital print before they have been erased.
Interesting.
So okay. The digital print, they are in the same size and also exhibited next to the erased original drawing.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So there are four sets of this drawing.
Okay.
So disappearance and existence coexisting. So I'm looking at this absence of presence or the presence of absence. Yeah, it is oxymoron, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I felt that drawing is very tangible, but then the things drawn on the drawing is not tangible. So it's like the yin and yang. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like the positive and the negative. They are interdependent. They will not exist without each other. So yeah, this work is about, it's a creation through erasure. Yeah. Yeah. So the size of the drawing, the size of the bed, it is an analogy of life and death. Bed is an intimate and very personal space. So besides resting and sleeping on it every night, can I also say that we human were also born mm-hmm. and die mm-hmm. on bed as well? Yeah. I mean, for most people, yeah. So the sense object, I mean, the four sets of drawing represent the four fundamental aspects of our physical body. Mm-hmm. They possess a transient nature that will disintegrate upon death. So being on a bed, it is a transitory place where life and death occur.
Okay.
So that is the meaning behind, I mean, why the size is that
as
size.
Such.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as a drawing what you raised, so the element disappeared. Mm. So it is a symbolic way to refer to the end of life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the final two drawings were larger. They were filled with handwritten text in repetition. Mm-hmm. So one is written in English. It says, forever gone but always exists, which is also the title of the exhibition. And the other drawing was written in Chinese. 一切事物最后终归还原. It means all things ultimately return to their original state. So So next to each of the exhibited work, there's also a time log card, which recorded my working hours, like what time I start work, what time I get out of work, and what time I clock in, clock out, you know, like sure. how the worker, like, you know, went to the work.
Goes to
work,
like
the punch machine, So the work is, I mean, all this is very repetitive. Our life is very repetitive.
And why did you want to also incorporate performance art alongside all of these different works on paper? You know, how do you think that it might enhance the viewer's experience of the whole exhibition?
Performance is very the performance is improvisational. Mm-hmm. It is time based. So I think the nature of performance itself, it is also, you know, very transient. It's just like, you know, it's temporal, it's very temporary. And I have certain structures on the performance that I want to do, which is to, you know, to erase a drawing. But, I mean, the process itself is still very unpredictable. Mm. So this is almost like, you know, everything is, it's like the nature of very impermanence. Mm-hmm. It's like always like fluctuate, always like ever changing. So it's very unpredictable. And so I think performance art is very, is in line with the title as well, because performance art is also intangible form of art. And time-based, like what I mentioned just now, and it's also transient in nature. So for the first four of the drawings, they were actually erased before the exhibition. Mm-hmm. The last two were erased during the period of the exhibition. I hope for a more direct interactions with the audience when they can witness me erase my own drawing, you know, during the exhibition. I feel that it actually evoke a certain feeling or emotion in some of them when they see I erase a drawing that I have spent so long time working on them. So, there was a feedback that I got from some of the audience, like after the first performance. Yeah, they actually could feel it, like when I erased, they thought like, wow, no, please
don't do that.
Yeah, they have that kind of reaction, which I find quite interesting. I never thought like some people would actually have that reaction that feeling, you know.
So I guess, you know, you want them to engage with that sort of paradox of ephemerality that is presented in your artworks, right? And but what do you also hope that they will, I guess, take away from the whole experience of Forever Gone But Always Exists?
I guess the process of creation through erasure, this process of my work, I hope that the audience could contemplate maybe on the ever-changing nature of existence, or to reflect on this paradoxical coexistence of something that is simultaneously gone and perpetually preserved through different mediums. So I actually didn't have a preconception like how people should react to the work. But I mean, this is the work is not conclusive. Yeah, I think they are allowed to have their own interpretation and, you know, have their own reflections and thoughts and perspective after seeing the work.
And you've been getting some very interesting reactions, as you said, right? Quite diverse as well, I think.
So I always love to hear like what people's thoughts like after they see the performance or after they see the work, and I really would love to know the response. Because that might be different from my perspective, from my what I was thinking. So I would love to learn to know like what others were thinking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, you know, it sounds really, really interesting. And of course, the exhibition is ongoing. It's happening now already, and right up till the 31st of March. It's happening at Summa Orientalist Fine Art, which is located at Damansara Heights in Kuala Lumpur. And of course, you know, as Aiwe mentioned, tomorrow, Saturday the 23rd of March, will also feature the artist performance, and that's called Forever Gone But Always Exists. Tickets are priced at 100 ringgit and are available at petix.com. So that's PEATIX.com. You just need to search for Forever Gone But Always Exists and you can find it there. But for one lucky listener now, Aiwe and the good folks from Summa Orientalist Fine Art have kindly offered us a pair of tickets to catch the performance, which again is happening tomorrow. So that's Saturday, 23rd March at 3 p.m. So you know the drill, just answer a question correctly. How many works on paper are featured in this current exhibition by Aiwe? Is it A, 666 or B, 6? So send me the correct answer, your full name and your email address via a WhatsApp message to 018-789-8899. And if you hear back from the Summa Orientalist folks, you are that lucky winner. I repeat though, I do need your email address and full names too, please. Yeah? Okay. And Aiwe, thank you so much for joining me today. Can't wait to see you performing tomorrow and can't wait to see the works. Is there, I know you have social media, you have an Instagram page, right, that folks can follow your work on?
Yeah, yes. It's awful. AWFOO, awful.
Awful. Yeah. So just search for Aiwe, searching for awful on Instagram. But you can also find out more about the exhibition by heading to summaorientalist.com. So that's SUMAORIENTALIS.com. But if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/front-row. You can also find it on the BFM app. This has been Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.